you ready to take your writing to the next level? Then welcome to the Book Editor Show. Join Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley each week as they teach you all the tips, tools, and techniques you need to move your book from manuscript to market. Visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books, and extras to make your old novel better than ever. Now, please welcome Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley.
Welcome to the Book Editor Show, number 20. Today, we'll be talking about editing a fiction series with Brian Cohen. I am Clark Chamberlain, and in a world where commas are used for cruelty and ellipses bring terror to the streets, one man will rise up to fight punctuation injustice and bring readability to the masses. That man is my co-host, Peter Turley. Peter, how are you doing today?
That's got to be the most dramatic one so far. I'm digging that. No, I'm ready. Today's been gorgeous. The sun's been out. Feel like summer's in sight. So feeling really good today. And, you know, to top it off with an intro like that, it doesn't get any better. I should just quit the show right now because, you know, we've peaked.
We're done. That's just it. It's over. I feel that way a lot of times, you know. I think some of my best writing comes in for introducing you.
It's where all your creative effort goes, really, isn't it?
I know, and then it's just all gone for the rest of everything else I do. So, well, it's good to have you here today. I'm really excited about today's topic. I know that a lot of people, you know, are interested in writing the series and trying to get as much trying to get as many books out as possible. And this is something I've been really curious about for quite a while, so excited to have Brian on the show to talk about this today. And in fact, let's go ahead. We'll just bring Brian on. Brian is an author, a podcaster, and an entrepreneur. He's written over 30 books, including the young adult superhero series, Ted Save the World, and a collection of creative writing prompt books. He's the co-host of two podcasts, The Sell More Book Show with Jim Kukral, and The Split, a young adult book review podcast with Robert Scallion. Is it Scallion? Did I say that right?
Scanlon. That's okay.
Scanlon, sorry, Robert Scanlon, there we go.
I like Robert Scallion, though. That'd be pretty good. That now.
As long as we get Brian's name right.
So, Brian, welcome to the show, though. We really appreciate you having you on today. It's nice to talk with you about this.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I know that I struggled with editing my fiction for a while, and it's... For me, it really came together when I came up with a system that worked for me, and I'll definitely talk about what works for me, which won't necessarily work for everybody, because nothing works for everybody, but I think that it's always worth experimenting with a lot of different ways, and sometimes the way you didn't think would work for you and your writing is the way that'll get things done.
Uh-huh. Now, one of the things I'm really curious about here, you know, because we're talking about, you're just about ready to release book number 4 in the Ted Saves the World, right?
Yes, The Light, the Dark, and the Ugly.
So, and I love that title, by the way, because I'm a huge fan of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So, I mean, I like how you throw those in. But you started this series with the first book released last July, correct?
Yes, yeah.
So that's an impressive amount of release. You know, I mean, that's a great release schedule. You got 4 out in under a year. Mm-hmm. So, and it does, to me, it seems a little crazy at the same time. What got you into wanting to do such a hectic schedule like that?
I mean, it is crazy. And, of course, there's people out there like Russell Blake who are putting me to shame and who are releasing a book every month and a half or 2 months. So he is the next guy to target. But I think that... I knew, I mean, you read about it, you know that people who are releasing every 90 days are the ones who are succeeding the most. They're the ones who are getting the biggest boost in the Amazon algorithms. They're the ones who are just plain selling books. And so I knew that if I was going to have similar success, I was going to need to get books out in that 90-day window repeatedly over and over again. And so I needed to not just find a system that would work once, it needed to be a system that you could do over again without totally beating yourself up, and I've only partly succeeded in that because I feel like I get sick at the end of every book, and this time I got sick 2 weeks before I finished. So I'm not going to say that what I do is the best way, but I think that You need to find something that'll allow you to hit that 90-day, or at least close. Like, I mean, everyone's got their own amount of time that they can put into these things. And I mean, I write part-time, freelance part-time, do other video course stuff part-time. And people who have a full-time job are going to have a difficult time putting in the hours necessary. But you do as much as you can, as often as you can, and you have a system in place, a plan. If you just go into this willy-nilly and then try to meet no deadline, just you're like, oh, I'm going to get it in 30 days, it's going to happen. You need specifics, you need clarity, and that's tough for a lot of creative people. It's been tough for me for the longest time.
Yeah.
And a really big calendar as well, just behind you there.
Yeah,
That is a really impressive schedule, though. I mean, you talk about a kind of process. So, I mean, you're going through like the whole book process, and there it is. That's step one right there.
Yeah.
In around 90 days. So, and is that the writing and the editing, and is that to completion, or is that to before you ship it off to someone else, or what do you manage to fit in this?
It includes the writing, drafting, writing, editing, publication. It includes everything. It includes a little bit of marketing too, because you kind of have to market from the beginning of your 90 days as well. So yeah, that's it within the entire 90-day frame.
So are you sort of like pre-writing the next one whilst you're like writing one of them? Because you must be kind of spinning a lot of plates there.
Well, for between books 2 and 3, I did pre-write the outline of book 3 while I was waiting for book 2 to go up, because I used the Amazon pre-order feature. And so you have to submit your book 10 days, technically 11 days, because it's 12:01 a.m. Pacific time or Eastern time on the day of 10 days before. So it's really 11 days. So technically, there's that 11-day window where I have the book done and can start working on the next one. And I took a little longer with book 2 than I expected. So book 3, I ended up writing in about 9 weeks instead of 12 weeks. And yeah, that was stupid. Like, stupid on beating myself up too much. But in that case, I was forced to do pre-writing, get my outline started, because otherwise I just wasn't going to have enough time to make book 3 happen before the end of 2014.
So now, you've talked a lot about it, you've mentioned it a couple times, you know, having a good process down. And of course, this show, you know, is a lot about editing, but walk us through this whole process from the beginning, for that whole 90-day process. What's that like?
Sure. Well, it all starts kind of with a couple of days of brainstorming. I, for instance, with book 4, I really didn't know what was going to happen in this book, and I basically just did some stream of consciousness free writing to try to figure out, well, what could happen? I know where I want to end up, because this is a 7-book series, so I vaguely know the point A, point B, but not all the points in between. So a lot of free writing to try to figure that out. For book 3, I actually was stuck and needed to call a couple of my friends, a couple beta readers, to help me brainstorm. Whatever you have to do to brainstorm quickly, that's very important. So a couple of days of that, and then about a week and a half more of outlining. I do 2 separate outlines. I do an outline, a broad outline, in which I summarize each chapter in a sentence, and then work my way from beginning to the end of the book. And my books have all been planned as 50 chapters, 5 parts, 10 chapters each. I try to make it really simple on myself. And some of them have ended up with as much as 56 chapters in an epilogue, but they start with 50 chapters just so it's all very uniform, and I don't have to think too much. And that's a key point with this. You don't want to have to think. You just want to write. You don't want to have to hem and haw over, oh, well, should there be 54? Should there be 57? No thoughts, as few thoughts as possible. get that just out of your head and get it on the paper. So it takes me about a week or so to outline the do the broad outline, then another week to do a more extensive outline in which I use, and I write this all by hand. I don't know if it's just a leftover from my high school English essay writing from however many years ago, but that seems to work for me, so what the hell, do it. Don't think, do what work comes naturally to you. And so I usually have about a page of the broad outline, put it up on a metal stand, write 6 or 7 bullet points for each chapter. It usually ends up being 2 sheets of paper per part, and since there's 5 parts, it ends up being 10 sheets of paper in total. I wish I had a visual aid here, but I'm not going to go around and grab one. So I have those 10 sheets, each with the 5 chapters each on them with 6 or 7 bullet points, and then when I conclude that outline, then I start a rough draft period. For book 3, this was a 2.5-week period. For books 1, 2, and 4, it was a much more manageable 5-week period in which I spend about 2.5 hours every morning writing 2 chapters. And I write short chapters, short, quick, and you had said we'll talk about pace at some point. I write these short, quick chapters about 1,250 to 1,500 words, and I every day I will write 2 chapters in my first draft, my rough draft, and I use a little electronic keyboard that can't connect to the internet, no possible distractions. Once again, don't think. I just type it out. And I would say I'm a fast typer, but not as fast as people who are doing 5,000 words an hour or whatnot, like Rachel, I forget her last name off the top of my head, but the one who did 2K to 10K, Rachel Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she, I think, writes 5,000 words an hour when she's all set up to go. But I don't. I write about 1,000 to 1,500 an hour. So I do 5 weeks of that rough draft, and then I have about, let's see, that's about 7 weeks. So 5 weeks left. I take a week to edit. A week later, editing week, I get back notes from the betas, and I'll go into the beta readers a little in a bit. And then I give it off to my editor. She gets it back to me in a week. I get it back to her for a second pass. It's done. I send it to Amazon for the proofreading or for the pre-order about 24 to 48 hours after I receive it back from the final draft from the editor. But by that point, it's really good shape. It's had 2 passes. It's had betas tackling it a little bit. And then I'm done, and maybe a 1 week break until the next one.
So. That's crazy.
that sounds so seamless, doesn't it? That's quite the system. That's impressive.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, yeah, you know, but with what you're trying to do, and yeah. That's just, it's really great to be able to sit down and know exactly what you're trying to hit. I mean, that's good advice just for any writer, just to have that block of time sometime that you can sit down and I'm going to do this, I'm going to write 2 chapters, it's going to be this many words, you know, and just to put something out and be producing on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I agree. You need a goal, and if it's very clear and it has a set date, you're much more likely to achieve it.
Yeah. So let's get into the editing process then. And you said you do send off to an editor, and you said you also have some beta readers working.
Yes.
At what point do you hand it off to the beta reader?
This is something that I think a lot of people would disagree with me about. I send my unedited first draft to my betas after I finish each part of the book. So when I finish the first part after the first week of editing, 3 weeks into my first week of rough drafting, 3 weeks into my process, they get part 1. The next week, part 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on. What does that do? Well, I think it really gives the betas time to read. It gives them basically 5 weeks to read the book, which is very important if you're going for speed. Because some people want to send out to betas, and it takes betas usually 2 to 3 weeks to read a thing. So if you're sending out to betas when you finished a second draft, a third draft, that adds 2 or 3 weeks to your process. So if you're trying to write faster, then you need to find ways to cut time out of your process. So I send it to my betas in parts along the way, and I have about 6 beta readers. I know some have a lot more, some have maybe just 1 or 2. I send it to people who I really trust. Most of them are actually friends, and a couple are friends I picked up along the way. Few of them are readers who I encountered as readers. So I think there are different shades of beta, and this is more of a closer, I trust these people, you know, I've been to their weddings sort of thing. And yeah. So what the betas do is, so at the end of my process, I have a week to touch things up. And at the end of that week, the betas are supposed to give me notes, very specific notes that I ask for. I ask for no proofreading, anything whatsoever, because I'm going to catch it and my editor is going to catch it. I ask for plot points that don't make sense, characters that do things out of character. I ask for things that pulled you out of the story. I ask for things that weren't handled as strongly as others. If there was a chapter or two that suck, I want you to tell me so that I can fix it. And then also I ask for suggestions for how to do it better, because you know, when you get into that situation where someone's like, I don't know how you do it better, but it stinks the way it is. I'm like, that is totally not helpful to me. It requires me to think, and I'm trying to take as much thinking out of this process as possible. And I may not agree with the beta's idea for how to make it better, but it'll at least start giving me some ideas for improving upon it. So when I get from the betas, then I will either ask them for follow-up or I'll just start applying their ideas right away. For instance, on book 4, there were a smattering of different kinds of comments, and I try to take them as I will. Some things I'll change. Some things, if it was only one beta cared about it out of the 6, I'm not going to worry about it as much. But if 2 people mention something, I know that it is probably something that's not clear. Once I've applied the beta notes, then I send it off to the editor for the first pass. The editor is also a friend of mine, someone I've known since first year of college. She helped me edit my papers during my freshman year, so I didn't get low grades in some of my essay classes. So had her along. Now I pay her. I didn't pay her back then. We have a very specific system that's very geared towards time. Each day, Monday through Friday of the week I give her the book, I want her to return one part to me. So I make sure by the end of that week I have the full thing back so that I can apply all of her edits, and then the following week the exact same thing. She gives me back one part each day. I get it in good shape, and that way by Friday, which is usually about 2 or 3 days before the pre-order is due on Amazon, I have the book all ready to go because I've been getting it in these piecemeal sections. And so much of that process is geared towards time, and some people might be worried that I could sacrifice some quality in that. And errors do slip through, but it gets a lot of eyes before it goes from out of my keyboard to the final product. And if there are a couple of errors with it at the end, I will go back and re-upload a better version.
Sorry, go ahead, Peter.
I was just going to say, Because obviously a lot of people listening are kind of like writers and thinking about editing their own work and stuff. And obviously getting an editor is an important part of the process. But how much sort of editing do you do before shipping it off to the editor? Is it just kind of what you can get done in the time? Or do you have like a particular things that say you know you're good at spotting and, you know, you'll tackle those things? Or, you know, how do you use your week when you, when you're editing the piece before sending it away?
Well, I kind of let the book speak for itself a little bit. If I know that it's got some issues, then I'm going to start rewriting chapters with my week. I'm going to fix up plot points. I'm going to do my best thing, which is writing. I'm not a great editor. I'm a better writer than I am an editor. Notice how I didn't say I'm a great writer there. If I know that a chapter needs work, the best thing for me to do is to almost rewrite it from scratch with the other chapter in mind, or at least rewrite chunks of it from scratch. With book four, I actually felt like it was in really good shape aside from a few plot points. So once I took care of those plot points, I actually did I read the book out loud to myself as quickly as conceivably possible. And that helped me catch several errors. Usually I'll actually do the read out loud after I get it back from my editor. But with this, I actually almost felt like I had an abundance of time within my 12 weeks, which is now that I got sick in the last 2 weeks of the process, that abundance has gone away. But I like reading it out loud because I catch several things. And I think if anyone is editing their own work, reading it out loud or having one of those computerized voices that most computers come with now to read your book out loud for you, that can help you catch a lot of errors as well. I think getting that extra level, not just reading it with your eyes, not just processing it, but hearing it and speaking it, you can catch awkward phrasings, incorrect word usage, extra word usage, forgetting a word. Those are the ones I tend to do, and a lot of those I'll catch through reading it out loud. So in this process, I took my week to read the book out loud to myself.
Well, you know, and reading out loud, I couldn't agree with you more. That's such a crucial part of the editing process, and sometimes people just completely skip it and they just don't even think about it. And talking about having something, a computerized reader for you, we're actually working to get Peter's voice into one of those programs.
That would be awesome. I like that.
We'll have to trademark it, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. You don't want everyone stealing Peter's voice.
As they should. As they. Oh, I wouldn't.
You know, I'll be the little voice in the elevator.
Nice. So, you really have your process down, and that's fantastic. You know that you're able to hit all those goals at the exact points. And what a smart way to do that, by putting it together in chunks so that you're editing a part and you're getting a part back from the editor and you're working on that so that it's just this flow. I mean, you've got that flow down, and you'd have to hit these 90-day marks. That's incredible.
Yeah, I don't know how other people do it, but that's definitely the process. It's the only way I've been able to work my head around it. And so, yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself cutting much when you go through it? Because I know that it's kind of like a ballpark figure is thrown around, you know, that you should try and cut 10% when you're going for your final draft. Or, you know, do you find, me and Clark have like talked previously and find that we end up having to write up to our word count?
I'm a write up to.
Yeah.
I'm a write up to. I don't write enough descriptions, so I need to go back and pump that up. I need to do more kind of active setting stuff, get character voice into that description a little more. I don't do that very well in my first draft, so I'm a write-up guy.
I really like what you said when you about if something's not working and, you know, you think it's plot or something like that, then you, because you're a writer, instead of just editing it, you'll just rewrite it. And I think, you know, that could be useful because it's kind of like, you know, trying to just patch up an old house, it might just be easier to just knock it down if it's not working and build a new one. Oh, and, you know, sure. And see if it works a little better that way around. But, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, it's what works for me. There's a lot of writers out there who are, they're editors. That's their number one. And so they should probably do the reverse. They should edit the crap out of it and then turn it into gold. They're great at patching up the house. They're better at remodeling than I am.
I sometimes find myself looking at two chapters and because I've moved things around so much, I forget which one was the original and which one I've been working on. And you know, yeah, that could be a useful
date all your documents.
I've shifted them around a lot and changed formats, and then they've just all got the same kind of like modified date.
Ah, that's funny. Well, I can't help you there.
what tools are you using? Editing software or you know, what your word process? And you said you use an electronic keyboard. Mm-hmm. Like what?
It's called a Neo 2. It's by the brand AlphaSmart, which it's discontinued at this point, but you can always find one on eBay. And I know a lot of people who swear by them. That's how I found it in the beginning. I was looking for distraction-free writing, and people just were always talking about these things, so I grabbed one of those. That one doesn't come with any particular software. It's really old, so all it can do is just play your piano, type it into your computer. It doesn't even save a file. Which is just cool to see it scroll by. As far as software, I'm not a Scrivener guy. I own Scrivener. I haven't ever opened it. I don't know. I'm stuck in my ways, I guess. And I use basically the Notepad, WordPad equivalent text edit to type everything in because it's big, it's white, it's blank, no distractions. I don't have 90 style thingies at the top like Word. And then I'll copy it into Word and send it to my editor that way because then she can do the corrections through Word. And then I'll do the final edits in Word. And that's like where I'll come up with my Kindle file and whatnot. So I keep things real simple. I've played with like that Hemingway editing app and mm-hmm. stuff like that assesses the grade level and the complexity. And aside from using a few too many adverbs, which I try to catch on the last couple of edits, it really didn't say I had too many problems, and I already write at like a fifth grade level. So it said, it basically said, "Hey, you're great." And I said, "Thanks, Hemingway app. I'm good. I don't need to use you anymore."
And then you two had a drink together, and
which have either of you used the Write or Die app?
I have heard of it, and I have heard people like it. I don't know. I'm already stressed enough. I don't need the computer yelling at me. I'm already yelling at myself internally.
It deletes your work on the highest setting.
Oh,
so
I heard
if you stop
that.
Typing for 10 geez. Seconds or something, it'll just start to delete it. So.
No, not for me. And I would like to write faster, but I mean, I've had like carpal tunnel-y kind of symptoms before from trying to write too much, so I don't think I need any encouragement to write faster so my arm falls off or something.
Oh, man. Well, we really appreciate you, Brian, being on the show with us today.
And
this is fantastic information, you know, and I think really it's inspiring for me, actually, to get back to trying to get a pace going again on some books that I've put aside to work on other projects. Man. So.
That's hard. Because there's so many other things I want to do too, but when I started this series, I actually had a plan of doing three different series and working on all three of them at once. But it seems like the people who are doing the best are sticking with one series at least the ones who are selling the most books. They're sticking with one series, seeing it through all the way till the end. And so I decided that's what I'm going to do. So the other ideas I have in my head, I have to kind of hold off on. And I mean, I'm even taking a little bit of a not Ted break, because I'm just taking a break from the pace. Over the next 3 months, I'm just going to write a prequel novella of about 20,000 words, so I have a little more time to catch up on life, because I've been doing great getting these books out, but, you know, it's not paying all the bills, so I've got to survive otherwise. But I think everyone should go through a period where they really push themselves hard for 6 months to a year at least, because then at the end of it, you have more of a body of work, and there's just more you can do with it.
Mm-hmm. How many total books are you hoping for the TED series?
Seven. But my idea is I'll have this prequel novella, and that we'll see if this happens. But I want to use what Hugh Howey calls the Liliana Nirvana technique, which is basically writing four entire books or five entire books in a series and waiting to release all of them either at once or spaced out by about a month. And fantasy author Lindsay Baroker has done this to great success as well with one of her series. And so the goal is finish TED by maybe March, April 2016. Once I have that done, write some TED novellas to kind of keep my fans appeased. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, write the rest of a new series and then drop most of it all at the same time. And people won't even know that I've been working on this. Well, I mean, I'm probably going to talk about it all the
time. Cuts out the bag.
Yeah. But that's kind of my goal for that one. But, I mean, yeah, it's... We'll see if that happens. I hope it does.
Well, that's a good plan. That's an excellent plan. You've got one, you know, and that's what the best thing you can do is keep pushing forward. So,
Peter,
do you have anything else? Any other questions?
No, I'm more in awe of the sheer productivity. I feel like I need to just get up and just go and start writing right now. it's been really, really interesting and hopefully inspiring for a lot of listeners out there that, they can produce this level of work and, you know, find the time, because a lot of us worry that, you know, we don't have the time. And, you know, you say you only write, what is it, like 1,500 words an hour, and, you know, with that you can achieve this sheer, you know, volume. So, you know, really impressed.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think it's hard to find the time, and that was the biggest challenge for me. And once I figured that out, the system came next. So I think everyone just needs to find their 2 or 3 hours to set aside every day. And if it's the wee hours of the morning or if it's late at night, that's the sacrifice that needs to be made to get it done. Because if you never set aside the time, it's going to be a real challenge to get the work done.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, Brian, thanks again so much for joining us today. Where can people find your work?
They can find my fiction work at briancohen.com, and you can keep up with my creative writing prompts, and there's a ton of inspirational posts there. They're not inspirational because I'm inspiring. They're inspirational because there's great questions and prompts you can use to help boost your writing, and that's at buildcreativewritingideas.com.
Perfect. Sounds great. So thank you so much for joining us today. For all of our listeners, if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave us a review at iTunes. If you're an editor who would like to be a guest on the show, or an author who would like us to edit your work live on air, stop by thebookeditorshow.com and drop us a line. I'm Clark Chamberlain, and for my co-host, Peter Turley, thanks so much for joining us. Keep learning, keep writing, and build a better book.
Thank you for listening, and come back next week for more. Please visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books and extras, and for information on how to be a guest on the show.